Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada said that, at least I have been told that he said that, good memory means write it down. I did not keep a diary or write things down as they were happening back in those days. Plus, in some stage of old age at this point in my life, I'm suffering to some degree from memory loss. Shishi Radha Gokulananda, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shishi Gornitai Kijai. So, I may not be able to remember so much, but I remember a few things, and we'll just try and recount some of those things that we actually recall. I joined in Berry Place, January the 7th, 1973. It was a Sunday, and we didn't have Bhaktivedanta Manor. But at some point in that earlier part of 73, I think Dhananjaya Prabhu knows much more than I do about that. Some negotiations were going on with George Harrison and a small group of devotees. This place was located and then acquired. And I remember coming out here from Berry Place for the first time, for myself, for the first time, and as I say, I really don't remember some of the finer details particularly, so I can't really remember what month it was. Maybe it was May. Anyway, it was something like that. The weather was quite pleasant, so it must have been something like May or so. And I remember coming out here, and we drove out. We had been given directions, and the first thing I remember about coming to Bhaktivedanta Manor was getting lost on the way. So we managed to get lost, and anyway, we eventually got here. And it was very impressive and very nice. Then, as I say, I was based in Berry Place at that time. I was the temple commander. And I think at that point, Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu may have been the temple president. So, initially here, there was a great marathon to make various alterations to the building and build an altar and do many things and some sort of Vyasasan, quite different from what we have now. I remember there was a classical fireplace there. It was, you know, it wasn't exactly like super classical, but it was very nice fireplace, and it got removed without consulting with George Harrison, and George did not appreciate that, because George was into old buildings and like traditional architectural features, so he didn't like that. And they decided to build a Vyasasan, which was meant to be in keeping with the architecture, a kind of Tudor-style manner. But that Vyasasan, those of you who were around in those days, you probably remember, it didn't really work so well. It was perhaps a little more reminiscent of Dracula than something really manorial or, you know, like that. Anyway, they tried their best, And Shamsunda had just returned from being with Prabhupada. He was the GBC. When I joined, he was with Prabhupada in India. But then he came back when, around the time we got the manor. And Prabhupada was coming. Are any of you aware of the actual date when Prabhupada arrived? 11th? September. I don't think it was September. It was before that. It was like a month or so after we actually got the place. So a date had been set. Prabhupada was coming. Shamsunda was here. And there was a massive marathon, construction marathon, to get this place together. And Shamsunda, when he first arrived, he came to Berry Place. He gave a class in Berry Place and explained the type of program he had got into when he had just been with Prabhupada just very, very recently. He got into a special program where at night he would not sleep. He would lie down and just wait, listen for Prabhupada to call him, and Prabhupada would regularly. And he explained to us that Prabhupada kept him so busy, he didn't have a chance to chant his rounds. And he was just like pretty much literally 24 hours a day active. So he came back, and then the manor arrived on the scene, and then we had to get it together because Prabhupada was coming. I think it was perhaps in June Prabhupada was coming. So they had a marathon here, and under Shamsunda Prabhu's order, no one was allowed to chant rounds. If anyone was seen with a bead bag, they were chastised. Seriously. And the only one who chanted rounds was Rabbatanandan Swami. Nobody else was allowed to. And everybody was just from early, early morning till late, late night. Everyone was just working flat out for a month. The temple commander, I was the temple commander in Berry Place. The temple commander here, they considered having me become the temple commander here, but by the grace of God, I was saved, and I stayed in Berry Place where we had a more normal program. The temple commander was Rajashekhar Prabhu. He's still around. He's in Vrindavan. So he was temple commander, and I remember we came out here the day Prabhupada was to arrive. The whole, or the great majority of the Berry Place devotees came out in the morning, sometime during what should have been the morning program, and Rajashekhar, as the temple commander, was, you know, racing around, seeing everything gets done. So Rajashekhar, he had not slept for a couple of days. And I remember being up in the brahmachari rooms there. It was maybe 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock perhaps. And Rajashekhar came in. And he was exhausted. He lay down for 5 minutes. And one of the more senior devotees came in and shouted at him, "You're in Maya. Get up. You got to get things ready for Prabhupada." So there were others, of course, who were living here during that whole marathon who would remember the details much better than me. But these little pieces I recall. And then on that day that Prabhupada was to arrive. We had come here from Berry Place. And there were different ideas on how Prabhupada should be brought here from Heathrow. The person in charge of making the arrangements was a devotee named Mahadev. I don't know if many of you remember Mahadev. He was sort of like an ardent follower of Shamsunda, really following in his footsteps. He was very bright, but he was really into just working like a literal madman to spread Krishna consciousness. So Mahadev had been put in charge of arranging Prabhupada getting from Heathrow to Bhaktivedanta Manor, just to make sure. So, you know, so there were no hiccups and so everything worked out. He over-arranged things. A helicopter was arranged, which in fact Srila Prabhupada did use. But in order just to keep the bases covered and make sure, you know, if there was a problem with the helicopter, that there was a backup, he hired a limousine, one of these long stretch American vehicles. But he didn't just hire one, and he didn't just hire two. He hired three. He hired three. I remember this vividly. I was out there in this little area out here when these three limousines pulled up with their flashy drivers and in suits and all very smart and together. And they became bewildered. I just happened to be there when they pulled in. And they're asking, what's going on here? Who's gonna do the job? Is it me? Is it him? Or who is it? And, well, Prabhupada came by helicopter. And we don't know what happened to the limousines. I guess they just drove off. And I don't know who footed the bill. I'll get on to footing bills shortly. So anyway, Prabhupada landed in a helicopter on this, I guess it was like a croquet lawn or whatever, where it's, you can see it's really been flattened there. So the helicopter landed there. And of course, there were practically all the devotees, many, many devotees from all over Europe were here, and all the British devotees were here. And as I recall, at least, there were two lines of devotees from the helicopter coming into the manor. I can't remember if Prabhupada came in here or from that side, but as Prabhupada got out, and then Prabhupada started walking up in between these two lines of devotees. The devotees were offering obeisances. It was like the classic domino effect, if you know what I mean. Devotees going down, then the next one, then the next one, and then that one gets up. It was really interesting. And I was one of the relatively new boys, so I was towards the end of the line, and I recall being just outside this door here, the entranceway to the temple room, and near the foot of the stairs, and Prabhupada came in, and next to me was Narahari Prabhu. Some of you would remember Narahari Prabhu. I believe he's in Australia now. So Narahari Prabhu and I were standing side by side, and Prabhupada came in, And so we offered our obeisances, and Prabhupada stopped in front of us, or more in front of Narahari. And we were down, and we didn't know, what do you do? Do you get up? Do you stay down? So we decided to take the conservative approach. We stayed down with Prabhupada, more or less in front of us, or particularly in front of Narahari. And there was a sannyasi there, not Rabbatananda, I think it was Brahmananda, but there was a sannyasi there with a big heavy danda. And Narahari, we were right next to each other, and we're looking at each other, you know, what to do? What should we do? Anyway, we stayed down, and then Narahari quietly put his hand out and stretched out, and really had to stretch, and touched Prabhupada's foot. And then he turned to me, because he was on that side, I was on this side. So he turned to me and went, go on. Go on. So I started sticking my hand out. Prabhupada was slightly further away because he was in front of Narahari. And as I was sticking my hand out, the sannyasi, I think Brahmananda anyway, whoever it was, saw my hand and with his big danda went, whack. So I retreated slightly. But then I guess he was looking away, and I went out again and managed to touch Srila Prabhupada's lotus foot. So that was nice. And then Prabhupada stayed here for some time. Like I say, I didn't keep a diary, so I couldn't tell you really, certainly not exactly how long, but Prabhupada stayed for some weeks, like a good few weeks. And Prabhupada, Shamsunda, you know, Shamsunda was a really creative thinker and a really creative talker. He arranged that many people come to see Srila Prabhupada, including quite a number of really prominent people, really different types of prominent people. And during that stay, Prabhupada said many things. I remember once Rabbatanandan Swami was in with Srila Prabhupada, and there was discussion about how, as this movement develops, because Lord Chaitanya said, Krishna consciousness will be just all over the world, 10,000 golden years of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, Rabbatanandan was there, and Prabhupada said that after some time, the preaching will be, you go door to door, knock on the door, will you chant Hare Krishna? And if they say no, bang. So, Rabbatanandan, now he really got onto this idea. And the same day, out there where the fields are, of course we had 15 acres in those days, and some of it was back that way. And there was one field which was being rented out to a neighboring farmer. So Rabbatanandan really got into this idea that, you know, Krishna consciousness is going to take over. And in other words, you know, we can't let the materialists push us around. And this is our land. I mean, this is our land. But we were renting it out. Somehow or other, it was being rented out to this neighboring farmer. So Rabbatanandan went out and ordered him off the property. The man was on his tractor, ordered him off the property, and the man was not ready to go because he had some contract and, you know, he was farming that land. So Rabbatanandan took to him with his sannyas danda and knocked him off his tractor. And again, I don't know what happened after that, but you do? Okay. Well, you may well know much, much more detail than me. But I remember coming out here, and that was the talk of the manor, how Rabbatanandan had stood up for Krishna's rights. Shamsunda was a really creative thinker, and he wanted the best for Krishna. So he arranged to get, among other things, I can't remember all the things, but this I remember. He arranged to get very nice chandeliers for the temple room. You're familiar with this one? Anyway, he did. On credit, because he was a brilliant talker. You know, he could talk anybody practically into anything. And so he managed to talk the chandelier company into giving these beautiful crystal chandeliers. They're fairly valuable. And the payment, well, Shamsunda Prabhu's philosophy was that, well, yeah, Krishna will work it out somehow. He was completely into that idea. There was no financial plan whatsoever. So the chandeliers, three chandeliers, I mean, these are nice chandeliers, but the ones he got, as I recall, were much more sort of ostentatious and impressive looking. There they were for a while, until the chandelier company figured out they were not getting paid. And there were a few other items like that. I remember when I just joined in Berry Place, I mean, perhaps it's slightly off the topic, but in the main little reception room, there were some chairs which had been sold to us by Ringo Starr for £100. But, you know, we also in Berry Place, we didn't have a financial plan, so we just didn't pay. And Ringo Starr came and repossessed, or he sent his people and repossessed the chairs, and he was really not happy. You know, so we burnt out Ringo Starr a bit for £100. So anyway, they came and repossessed the chandeliers, just walked in and just took them down themselves and just walked out with them. And there were various other items of very good quality, just suitable for a nice temple of the Lord. But they also got repossessed, and the people just came and took them away. So eventually, at least eventually for me, towards the end of 73, I moved out here to become the treasurer. Shamsunda Prabhu was still the GBC, although by this point he had gone somewhere in pursuit of, I think, rubies. He had some mining interests in India, in Africa. He's still, I think, mining rubies in Zambia nowadays. So he was not around. I came out to be the treasurer. And it was winter by now. It may have been December. Let me just check my notes here. Actually, no. One other little point. I was initiated here, yes. A first initiation while Prabhupada was here on that first visit. I wasn't here for the installation of Radha Gokulananda. because I was temple commander in Berry Place. Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu was definitely the president at that point. And he told me I cannot imitate his stern Northern Irish demeanor and accent. But he told me rather, you know, sort of in a very positive, assertive way, that my name at that point was Raghubir. Raghubir, one of the two of us will have to stay here, because it was Janmashtami. And you can guess which one had to stay. So I was there for Janmashtami, but I came out for Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. There were some of George Harrison's friends, or I don't think really friends, like hangers-on who had come. And they were out on the front lawn there in the evening, creating a bit of a ruckus. I will not explain some of the things that they were doing, but they were well and truly opposed to the regulative principles in a number of ways. So I was here for Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. I was here for Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja class. It was a very nice class. And then I was initiated here. It was a little later. Prabhupada was here. And I remember driving out for the initiation. And we were driving out. And our driver got lost. And we arrived just as the fire sacrifice was finishing. Must have been Krishna's, a message from Krishna, some special arrangement. But anyway, a few days later, maybe a week later, there was another initiation, and I was initiated here in Prabhupada's presence. So then, a bit later, in the winter, 73, I came out here as the treasurer, and I didn't know much about the formalities of financial dealings at all, but I sat down my first day as the treasurer. The treasury office was one of, I think, the room on this side. There's a couple of rooms, right, on the other side of the hallway going down towards this end. I think the second and larger room was the treasury. So there I was, and there was a whole pile of mail, and I opened the mail, and what did I see? First thing I opened, you owe us a whole lot of money, and if you don't pay, we are going to wind you up. Yeah. As I say, I didn't know much about financial formalities, so I didn't exactly know what it meant, but it sounded bad. So I took it to, I forget who exactly. It may have even been Paranjan, who was here, and I mean, he's a bit of a notorious character these days. But he was here. He was part of the scene here. And he was a businessman. He was running Spiritual Sky. So he figured it out. And we had a few of these final notice and beyond final notice. Some of them had already gone to court. And we were not only not present, but we were just not even really aware. And so there were a few orders to wind up ISKCON, means sell everything and just whatever we owned, which really wasn't very much, and take the money to pay off the debts. So anyway, between Paranjan and myself, we managed to work out with the creditors different plans for paying off the debts. But perhaps if we hadn't stumbled on that, just somehow or other, I don't know. I don't know what would have happened. But it was a bad situation. Financially, it was a very bad situation. And we really had no money. It was winter, and it was quite cold. And we were so poor. Shishi Radhagulokananda, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shishi Kwanitai Kijai. We could not afford to have the heating on in midwinter. So it was rather cool. And at night, some nights we would have the heating on. But during the day, there was no heating. There was no hot water. There were not a lot of lights. There were a few lights around here and there, but not a lot. There was one over the altar. There was one over the altar. Actually, one thing, which I think was from the first visit of Prabhupada. The devotees had built this, rather extraordinary, you might say, sort of semi-Baroque style altar here, which in tune with the rather unusual Vyasasen. And some very nice Hindu people had donated to us a huge tulsi. I mean, a giant. This tulsi was over 6 feet tall and had bigger leaves than what we were used to. And we thought, wow, this is amazing. And as I recall, Rohini Nandan Prabhu showed Srila Prabhupada this tulsi on the first visit. And Prabhupada said, you are worshipping Basil Devi. So that was, we learned something there. Because tulsi and basil are members of the same family. So anyway, here we were, and it was cold. It was cold. There wasn't a lot of light. There wasn't a lot of electricity. There was very little or no heating. And the situation was a bit dire. We had no real source of income. We had a few colorful people staying here. There was one young man. He was essentially a hippie, really, named Gopal. I don't know if any of you remember Gopal. I mean, it was very pleasant. He's the person, Gopal painted this painting of Srila Prabhupada. It's really a magnificent painting, actually. He was an artist. I think he painted the Panchatattva also. Although I'm not sure on that. Who painted that? Oh, Saradia. Okay. So, anyway, Gopal painted this painting, which really is nice, but then it turned out he had other habits which were not in keeping with Krishna consciousness, and so he sort of moved on. So we got through the summer. I mean, we were getting through the winter, and things were really dire, and the devotees reported to Shamsunda. He was busy elsewhere in his mining operations. So the devotees contacted Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada made Hansaduta Prabhu, the GBC. And Hansaduta came over. He had a completely different style of management and everything. And he got us, I forget exactly which month it was, but it was kind of early-ish 74. He got us into selling records. The records. Yes. That was quite an era, the record era. I was still the treasurer, and, you know, just about every man, woman, and almost child who could, you know, stand up for 30 minutes was out selling records. It was a major operation. And suddenly, from total, literally complete bankruptcy and just financial hopelessness, suddenly all this money started coming in. And suddenly it was okay to be the treasurer. It was quite nice. And, you know, Bajahari Prabhu was leading a party. Narahari was leading a party. And, you know, all these senior devotees and Prabhavishnu and Mahavishnu was there. And Mahavishnu Maharaj and so on and so on and so on. There were several groups, a good number. I don't know if there was as many as 10, but maybe there were. And we were initially renting our vehicles from Barnes Hire, from Watford. From Barnes Hire. And Barnes Hire, you know, suddenly, they're just some small suburban car hire place. And suddenly, now they're renting out these several or maybe even 10 transit vans. They thought they were on a good wicket and, you know, they were now going to be making money. But they were not aware that our ISKCON devotees, I tell you, particularly in those days, my God, what atrocious drivers. It was unreal. And so many of the vehicles got smashed. I mean, really so many, maybe all. One of them, Narahari's, He was born in Wales. He was out selling records in Wales. And on a Sunday, they decided to go for a Sunday feast, I think, down by the beach on like an estuary, a tidal estuary, where when the tide's low, the water is, there's just no water for miles. Or anyway, on a beach somewhere by the sea. And I don't know if it would be deviating to tell you the story or if you've heard the story before or recently, but interesting thing happened. You know the story, do you? Anyway, I don't want to be too repetitive because there's not so much time. But to cut what could be quite a long and amusing story, quite short. They parked the car on the beach, and it's this very tidal place where at low tide you cannot practically see the water. It's gone out so far, tidal flats. And suddenly the water came in. But the devotees did not notice that. I think they were busy with the Sunday feast. And suddenly they noticed the water was all around the van. They tried to drive the van out. They couldn't. It was too late. It had kind of sunk into the sand. So they thought, well, you know, when the tide goes out, we'll drive it away. It's okay. Then the waves started coming and the van started lifting up with the waves a bit. And they thought, well, it's okay. The waves will push the van in. But the sea, you know, it has interesting ways of operating sometimes. It didn't push the van in. It lifted the van right off and took the van out into the sea. Because it was closed. It was kind of airtight. and it floated. And it floated around a little and floated towards the rocks. And the devotees thought, it's okay. You know, it'll just stick on the rocks and we'll get it taken off later. And then it got pushed onto the rocks. But it didn't just stay on the rocks. You know, waves, the way the sea works, I'm from a surfing background. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing, and many things happen which you might not expect. When waves come in, they go out also. And the van went out and came in and went out and came in. And they thought, well, they're trying to remain optimistic. You know, eventually the tide will go down. So now the van's coming in, going bang, and going out and coming in, bang. And then one of the doors fell off, and then they knew it's a serious problem. So I remember having to phone Barnes Hire, because I was the treasurer, and saying, you remember that van? Because they had numbers. One of them was TLC something. I remember that. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You know, one of the vans, such and such number. Well, it floated out to sea. And these poor Barnes Hire. Anyway, that was the shortly our contract with them was concluded. That was quite an experience. So then, let's see. Oh, yes, I was a treasurer. And now we had little, well, actually still before Hansaduta came in, we really had little money. But we decided, let's get some nice chandeliers for the temple room. So, as the treasurer, I was sent in to, would you believe, Woolworths on Oxford Street. And I personally bought these plastic chandeliers, which we put up in the temple room. And they were like £5 each or something. So we had these three plastic chandeliers for some time in the temple room. Okay, let's see. Oh, well, from Prabhupada's first visit, another thing I remember. I remember being here, and Prabhupada, at that point, Prabhupada was giving class, I think Bhagavad Gita classes, in, is it the theater room or whatever, down towards the end of the hall there, near the kitchen. So Prabhupada was giving class there, and we would come out from Berry Place from time to time. And I remember one morning, this is, now we've just gone back to 73. One morning Prabhupada was giving class, and he asked for questions, and Petitu Dharan, I don't know how many of you remember Petitu Dharan. anyway, Petitu Dharan, he was, I think, the temple president or something like that in Edinburgh. And Petitu Dharan asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, in our temple in Edinburgh, we have many rats, and because it's a very old building, and we have many rats. And he asked Prabhupada, is it all right if we kill the rats? And Prabhupada, straight-faced, just looked at him and said, if you kill the rats, you should be killed. And, you know, silence. But Petitu Dharan didn't get it. So he repeated his question with a bit more explanation. You know, there's many rats, Prabhupada, it's very old, and, you know, they can be dangerous, and so on and so on. And Prabhupada just cut him off and said, if you kill the rats, you should be killed. So anyway, back to early to middle, 74. Now, somehow or other, as I recall, it was only noticed, or maybe it only happened as the summer was coming in 74. I can't remember the details. But at some point, we realized that Bhaktivedanta Manor was infested with mice. I mean, really infested. You could not go into a room if there was no one in the room. You could not open a door, go into a room, and not see a few mice. And during Mangal Arati, no kidding, on the altar of those days, every single Mangal Arati, without exception, the mice were on the altar. And they were dancing in the kirtan. Anyway, whatever. But it was amazing, amazing, amazing. So the devotees asked Prabhupada, what should we do? We got so many mice. And Prabhupada said, keep the place clean. If there's nothing for them to eat, they'll go away because they're not here because they like the view. They're here for food. So we got a team together, and they were cleaning Bhaktivedanta Manor. It was their service. They would clean the entire building, which took a couple of hours, and then they'd go around and clean the building again. And then they'd go around and clean the building again. So every day they cleaned the building a few times. But unfortunately, the mice did not get the message, and somehow or other the mice just hung in here. They were still here. We didn't know what to do. Because the place was, as far as we could see, spotless, completely, totally spotless. So our creative thinking devotees, what to do, what to do, what to do? Aha! We bought a cat. And as I recall, the cat was named, take a guess, Nrisinga Dave. Oh, this is my recollection, at least. But I do remember clearly, suddenly, almost literally overnight, within 48 hours, the mice were just, they were just no longer prominent, at least. And we would sometimes find mouse parts lying around. Oh, Krishna. So, anyway, this is old Bhaktivedanta Manor law. It actually happened. So, let's see here. Oh, yes. Okay. Interesting experience. Prabhupada, this is now summer 74. I was still the treasurer. I went out with records at some point during the summer, 74. I forget exactly when. But I was still the treasurer, and Hansidutta was the GBC. And Prabhupada came during the summer. And I remember being in a darshan of Prabhupada's one afternoon in the main lounge there, in Prabhupada's quarters. And Achanananda. Do any of you remember Achanananda? I haven't seen him for years and years and years. He asked Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, he actually had a copy of Nectar of Devotion with him. He read it out of Nectar of Devotion. In Nectar of Devotion it says, if you commit... You know, there's two lists of many, like altogether maybe 60 offenses. And at the end it says, if you commit these offenses, if you chant Hare Krishna, you will be absolved of reactions. But then it lists out the 10 offenses, and there in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says, But if you commit the 10 offenses, then you cannot escape the reactions. So this devotee, Achinananda, read this out to Srila Prabhupada and then said, Prabhupada, my question is there some way of becoming free from the reactions to the 10 offenses? Which, of course, in the book, Prabhupada says, you can't. Prabhupada, I remember very clearly, Prabhupada sitting there, back to the window. Achinananda was on that side, to Prabhupada's right. Prabhupada looked at him for a few, like 2 or 3 seconds. And Prabhupada said, you are asking this question because you want to offend. You want to do some offense and then just do something to escape the reaction. But you must not do that. You must stop offending. You must stop offending. So that struck me very deeply. I was not in many darshans with Srila Prabhupada, although I was in a few here. But that I remember very clearly. During the same darshan, someone asked Srila Prabhupada, what should we tell people when we're distributing books? What should we say? And Prabhupada stood up, picked up a book, and gave a demonstration. You know, we're all sitting there, Prabhupada's now walking a little bit. And Prabhupada went with the book, gave it to somebody, and said, following, it's actually in accordance with Prabodhananda Saraswati, he says somewhere, I forget exactly where. So Prabhupada said to this devotee, he gave him the book and said, my dear sir, I can see you are extremely intelligent. In fact, you are the most intelligent person I have met all day. The man's, there with the book. And Prabhupada said, I have only one request of you. That is, please forget all your nonsense and take this book. So Prabhupada gave a demonstration there, how to distribute books. Then in the same darshan, I think it was the same darshan, a devotee asked Prabhupada one of these, what at least I call a what if question. Like highly unlikely. Now, what if the man on the moon landed here? What would you do? So this question was, what if you are on a desert island and it's just you and some animal and you've eaten all the seaweed that you could reach and now it's just you and the animal. Would it be all right to eat meat? To kill the animal? And Prabhupada said, a devotee would rather die than eat meat. Yeah, a devotee would rather die. Then a devotee asked Prabhupada that, is there a difference between devotees living in the temple doing service and devotees who are out distributing books and preaching? Is there a difference in the sense that if you make some offense, is there a difference in, like, will the reactions be taken away more quickly for the devotee who is preaching? And I remember to this day, Prabhupada looked straight at me and said, for the devotee who is preaching, Krishna, even if the devotee makes some offense, does something wrong, Krishna just takes away the reactions immediately. The devotee staying in the temple, he may have to go through some sort of reaction may be there. So I remember that very vividly. Now, what to do? It's coming up to 9:15. Should we wind up? Let me tell you one more, just one more. I received second initiation during that time when I was the treasurer. First initiation was sometime in 73. I think it may have been September, August, September, something like that. And second was sometime in earlier 74 at some point, sometime in 70, the first half of 74. So Prabhupada, we'd had the fire sacrifice. Prabhupada didn't participate. He was upstairs. And then the next morning, immediately after Mangal Arati, there was a few of us. And we had to go in one by one into Prabhupada's room. And he was to give us Gayatri individually. Actually, I could just mention a few days or even a couple of weeks before that. Prabhupada asked for all the devotees who were going to be initiated. The initiation was meant to take place a couple of weeks earlier. I think a couple of weeks or maybe just a week. So we all went into Prabhupada's room. Everyone for second, everyone for first. There may have been 10 devotees, something like that. And Prabhupada came out into the lounge there and he was standing up. And he asked us, so, is everyone chanting their rounds? Which, you know, fortunately I was. There were two young girls there, I cannot remember their names. Young brahmacharinis. And they're like together there. And they looked at each other and giggled and looked down and said, no, Srila Prabhupada. We're not chanting our rounds every day. Prabhupada, on the spot in front of all of us, cancelled the whole initiation for all of us. You can imagine those girls were not so popular. But shortly after, just a matter of some days after, not long, the initiation happened, and so so I was there, fire sacrifice. Next morning, we're waiting up on the landing there in front of Prabhupada's rooms. And I was, it's like 5 o'clock, 5 past 5, immediately after the actual Mangal Arati. So I was the first one to be called in. And it was the first time, and actually the only time, I was ever alone with Srila Prabhupada. So I went over, offered my obeisances, I was kneeling there. Next to, like on Prabhupada's right, by the table, and he's sitting behind the table. So I'm kneeling there, and the day before, Rabbata Nandan, who did the fire sacrifice, he had put the Brahman threads on the men. So I had my Brahman thread on. And Prabhupada looked at me, and in a very stern way said, why have you got your Brahman thread on? Why? I didn't know why. I mean, I just did. So actually, I couldn't say anything. And Prabhupada said, who put your Brahman thread on? Prabhupada said, I wanted to put it on myself. And then I said, well, Rabbata Nandan put it on. And Prabhupada said, why did he put it on? Sure. You know, this is the first time with Prabhupada alone. It was a sobering experience. So anyway, then Prabhupada called for Mukunda Maharaj. He was like a Vanaprastra at that point. He was the temple president. So Prabhupada called for Mukunda. And Mukunda came in. And Prabhupada really got on his case. Why has this boy got his Brahman thread on? And, you know, there's like 500 devotees here. So many things happening. And Prabhupada expected the temple president to know why I, this young boy, already had his Brahmin thread on. And Prabhupada got on his case. You are the temple president. You must know all these things. You are the temple president. So anyway, Mukunda went, and then Prabhupada gave me the mantras. Prabhupada gave me the mantras. You know, I'd never seen the mantras before. I didn't know what they were at all. He recited the mantras to me, gave me the sheet, and said, "Now you repeat the mantras." You know, I'm not a Sanskrit expert, and I certainly wasn't then. And I thought, wow, I'm going to get it wrong. What's going to happen? Because he was in the stern mood. But somehow I got it right by the grace of the Lord. And then he showed me how to count. He showed me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That was it. Just as fast as you could count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now you show me. And again, you know, I'm in a half-stunned condition. And I had to show. I had to do it. And, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to get it wrong. But somehow I didn't. So, and then I went out. So that was a very sobering experience, but very nice experience. Okay, last thing I'll mention, very last. While I was, as I recall, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it was, during the summer of 74, while I was still the treasurer, a devotee named Charuhasa from America, he's sort of like Afro-American, they might say, or in South Africa, we would say colored, kind of a mixed race. And he was an artist. And he painted this painting of Lord Nrsimhadev while he was here. And one day he decided to go to the Victoria and Albert Museum because they have Sheilas and deities and things like that there. And there we were. And suddenly, we got a phone call from the Victoria and Albert Museum. One of your fellows was just here. He took some of our Shalagram Sheilas. Oh, yeah. And this Charuhasa was on his way back. And he came back and he told us, hey, wow, look at this. Look what I got. And we had to tell him, listen, sorry, they already phoned us. So he took them back. But anyway, he painted that painting. And he signed it, actually, Charuhasa. So, you know, there are many other things that we could say, but I think let's just call it quits for today. Hare Krishna. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki. Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Shri Shri Gaunatai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.